Good morning, everyone. How amazing it is, obviously, to be in the Lord's house. How honored and blessed I am to be delivering the message today. Not under the best circumstances with our preacher possibly having COVID, but he's been tested negative in the quarantine. But again, they're taking pre-calling today. Thank you to the men and the church that are obviously trusting me to speak today. I mean, that alone is just an honor and a blessing that they trust me and find me approved to speak on behalf of the church. And thank you for obviously the women in the church, you know, providing communion, keeping this place tidy, and supporting the men of the church. I love you all, and I appreciate all the things that you guys do today. I put together a semi-quick lesson. I hope it's inspiring. I hope it's encouraging. And I ask respectfully if anybody has anything that they find that I fell short on or I misinterpreted that they speak to me in private. I'm a learning Christian as well, so I appreciate that approach and I would love to talk to you. I want to be biblically sound in my speech. I want to be biblically directed in my walk. And like I say all the time, Jesus, the Bible, eternity, heaven, all those things are my favorite subjects. So, I mean, it's just great to be up here today and preach and speak the word, and just the opportunity is, I mean, it just brings great joy to my heart, honestly, to be up here. So, let's get into the lesson. So when preparing for the lesson today, I originally started gathering material on purpose. You know, what is my purpose? What's the Christian purpose? What is your purpose? And this is the conversation that Elaine and I have a lot. You know, what's my purpose today? What's my purpose, you know, in this season of life? Like, who should I be for this individual? Who should I be for that person? We have these honest conversations with each other. One, to hold each other responsible, and two, you know, to kind of give us direction. But as I was thinking about purpose and whatnot, I mean, the road to your purpose can be awfully rocky, right? Whenever you're trying to live out your purpose and trying to live out the person that you are put on this earth to be. And it can get rocky. And that's kind of the direction I'm going today. Maybe not the purpose exactly in your life, but the road to your purpose, if that makes sense. And it's hard to make sense, you know, what's going on in the world today. We ask questions, you know, we ask questions when our life gets turned upside down or things go sideways or don't go as planned. We ask honest questions, right? We ask God, if we're praying, we ask God, like, why is this happening to me? Like, we want answers, and that's very human of us, to want answers. And we ask God, why are we experiencing this? And then whatever that experience might be, we pray to God. And as we ask God, like, why this? Why am I feeling this way? We sometimes, not all the time, we try to justify our Christianity, right? Like, or we try to justify and say, God, I've been faithful. I've prayed. I've done as you told me to live. I've sat the pew every Sunday. Why is this happening to me? Where are you, God? And those raw emotions, I think are healthy. And we all have those emotional moments, kind of as we, you know, we look to heaven and we ask why, or we bury our face in our hands, and we just ask for God's mercy. And to answer some of these questions, in a moment we're going to be turning to the book of Acts and learn some things about Paul. And maybe with his life and his story, we put clarity on our lives. See, Paul shows us what it looks like to move forward in moments that don't make sense. God tells Paul a whole series of things that he wants him to accomplish. But he doesn't give Paul any reason for what he's doing. He doesn't give Paul, like, a series of explanations of why he's facing adversity. But he gives him a revelation, and he gives him a calling bigger than himself. As we will learn in a little bit, Paul has received a revelation from God that he wants him to go to Rome. All right? And God's fulfillment will happen, and nothing is going to stop Paul. But before we get into that, and before we get into the book of Acts, I just want to read you a quick verse from Romans. If you want to turn there, that's fine. It's going to be Romans 8:37. Romans 8:37. I think this is a staple whenever it comes, you know, to Paul's life and our lives as Christians. And I love this verse, and it's something that I cling to whenever I think about Jesus and God and his love for us. So Romans 8:37, pretty sure I'm reading from the New King James Version. But it says, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I think the very first thing, 37, is what I love the most. It says, we are more than conquerors, right? We are more than conquerors in all these things. And they list these things that we are more than conquerors of. And then it goes on to explain the antidote. The only way that we are conquerors of all these things is through him who loved us. And it's in the past tense love, because Jesus loved us before we even existed, before our name was even spoken. Jesus loved us. God loved us. And we as Christians, we must learn how to operate in life by this revelation, by the Lord's calling, turning our fear into faith in our own life, and finding opportunity that God has waiting for us. And we also need to find opportunity within our lives and other people's lives to speak life into them. Because the devil is real. You know, he's a roaring lion. He's waiting to devour, to rip us apart spiritually. He's waiting to rip us apart emotionally. And he hates all of you, and he hates anything that is good in your life. The enemy is, he's a crafty one. He's been around a lot longer than us. He's in our secular music, right? And if you don't believe me, listen how you speak, right? The enemy is plugged into our electronics. If you don't believe me, how many of us have been, you know, desensitized to, you know, X-rated images as we watch movies, or violence, or even homosexuality whenever we watch just random TV shows? I mean, you can't even watch a Burger King commercial anymore without a woman in a bikini eating a Whopper, you know? People have lost their minds. The enemy is in our relationships. Ask yourself, the people that you surround yourself with, are they bringing you up? Are they bringing you down? I think Kathy once told me once you're the average of the five people that you hang around with the most. So if you're hanging out with 8s, 9s, and 10s, you yourself are going to be an 8, 9, or 10. But if you're hanging out with 3, 4s, and 5s, you yourself are going to be a 3, 4, or 5. So surround yourself with people that are going to hold you accountable. Surround yourself with people that are going to make you better, that are going to speak life into your life, that aren't going to bring you down, that aren't going to accept you going out to the bar, that are going to hold you accountable whenever you're at church Sunday and you're cussing on Monday. All right? Be with those people and accept those things whenever they speak to your heart. Because the devil, he's going to tactically insert himself so you don't even know he's there. He's going to tactically insert himself waiting for that opportunity to attack. And what he's doing is he's planting a seed of resentment and pride in people's hearts. So when someone does try to hold you accountable and does try to speak life in your life, you're going to push them away, you're going to resent them, and you're going to puff up your chest with pride. I see it all the time, and the only reason that I can say that I've seen this in my life is because I was that at one time. I was the sinner. I had a lot of pride in my life. I was violent. I was a drunkard and all those things. But God found me, and he said, I love you. Everything is okay. And it's just beautiful, beautiful imagery. No matter where you're at in your life, you know, Jesus is waiting for you. We have to understand the Lord's calling and arm ourselves with the good news, right? The good news of truth. And how do we do that? How do we arm ourselves with the good news, the truth, and whatnot? It's just too easy. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. And then, after you read your Bible, do what it says. Just simple formula that I just don't I understand that it's difficult to do because I was once there, but now that I'm here, I'm like, I wouldn't want to live any other way. I wouldn't want to read. I wouldn't want to wake up every morning and absorb the knowledge of Christ and speak life into people's life. I wouldn't want anything else. And I just want to beat my head off the wall sometimes because I've found it so late in life. And it's such an amazing thing. Just read the Bible, do what it says. The Bible is a lifeline, it's directions, it's a GPS to heaven. It's literally God's spoken word. And this statement, it might be difficult to accept, and I'm not really speaking directly to everybody in this room, but it's something that's resonated with me in my life. And I do need to be blunt whenever I say this. God's word gives me authority, and listen closely. If you don't want to spend time with God now in prayer and studying his word, why would you want to be with him in eternity, right? You don't want to spend time with them now, and if you're just giving them, 5 minutes a day at the end of your day, or trying to squeeze them in, as you drink your coffee, why would you want to be with them for eternity? And what gives you the right to be with God? What gives you the right? If you don't want to live as the Bible tells you to live, why do you believe that you should be in heaven? Continue to, process that every single morning. I have to remind myself that I'm a Christian every morning. I have to read the Bible every single morning to remind myself that I don't want to trust, that I don't want to, be jealous or envious or prideful. All those things. Those things are just human nature to be those things. It seems like ingrained in our DNA. So do yourself a favor and wake up every morning and remind yourself of who you want to be. So what are we going to do today? We're going to read our Bible. Hopefully, whenever we walk out of these doors, we're going to do as it says. So if you want to turn to Acts 28, we'll start at verse 3. Acts 28, verse 3. And again, I'm pretty sure I plugged in my notes to the New King James Version, but it's a little off, I apologize. All right, so I'm going to read verses 3 through 6. 28, 3 through 6 is what I'm going to read. But when Paul gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat, and it fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom he has escaped the sea, yet justice does now not allow to live." But he shook off the creature into the fire, and he suffered. However, they were expecting that he would swell up and suddenly fall dead. But after they looked for a long time and saw no harm come to them, they changed their minds and said he was dead. All right, before we unpack that scripture, let me give you a little bit of a background of what's going on in Paul's life right now. All right, Paul is on a ship, or was on a ship, headed for Rome. He's a prisoner on that ship, that we're talking about. He was convicted for treason, and he was convicted also for preaching the gospel. He had been on multiple mission trips prior to this, we'll get into that later. He tells the captain on the ship that if they continue to sail, they will be shipwrecked. He tells the captain multiple times, if we sail, we will be shipwrecked. All right? They sail anyways, they don't listen to Paul, they become shipwrecked. Paul lets everyone know prior to the ship going down that everybody on the boat will survive. Alright? Tells everyone not to worry, they will make it safely to wherever they're going. Shipwrecked, everyone survives, they all make it to shore, and now they're on an island called Malta. Malta is the island that they're all currently on, all the prisoners on the ship, and the natives also that are living on this island are all gathered on this island. Now Paul is on a strange land. He's still a prisoner. He's cold, he's in the rain, and he's hungry. Shipwrecked. Down on his luck. And then, as he's just trying to get warm, what happens? He gets bit by a viper. And he doesn't just get bit. The viper fastens to Paul's hand. It's not just a quick bite. It's literally latched onto his hand to the point that everyone can see this snake you know, dangling from his hand over the fire. And as I read this, I can't help but to think that, and it just goes back to Genesis, what does a snake represent? That viper, in my mind, it doesn't say it exactly, represents Satan. Satan attacks you when you're at your lowest, and that, to me, that viper is a clear representation of Satan in his attack and latching onto you, not just a quick bite, but trying to fasten upon you. But what does Paul do? What does Paul do? Just like the song from Taylor Swift, he shakes it off. I don't know if any of you guys know that song, but that's what he does. He takes it and he just shakes it off into the fire. And what a great representation of what we should do whenever it comes to evil, right? We shake it off, burn it up, and we forget about it. Paul doesn't even say anything. That's a crazy thing. Like, that's not recorded that he said, like, ow, that hurts, or, oh my goodness, I have a snake on my arm, or nothing. He literally just shakes it off and then just keeps going. And that's just fascinating to me. All right, so let's look at verse 4. We're going to talk about verse 4. I'm going to reread that again. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they stood and said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he escaped the sea, yet justice is not allowed to live. Justice is not allowed to live. This is what people do in life, right? As soon as something goes bad in our lives, they start casting blame. They start coming up with stuff. They start spreading rumors that simply just are not true. Obviously, we in the church know bad things are going to happen to good people. It doesn't matter where we're at on our walk as Christians. We know that this world is not our home, right? And that bad things are going to happen to us. Even more so, once we become Christians, we automatically have a target on our back, right? We have a target. People are watching on what we do as well. And as soon as we slip, they're pointing fingers. They're talking about your faith. They're talking about who you worship. And they're talking about, oh, if he's such a Christian, then that bad thing shouldn't happen. You know, people are going to do that. They're going to talk. And you just need to shake it off, right? So in verse 6, I'm going to read that again too. However, they were expecting that he would swell up and suddenly fall and die dead. But after they looked for a long time and saw no harm come, they changed their minds and said, he wants to be a god. This is another thing people do. One minute, you know, they're doubting you. One minute, they're casting blame and mocking you. And then the next minute, they love you. The next minute, they change their minds. And they just start talking good about you like nothing ever happened. And then all of a sudden, they switch it up again. And here's the thing that people also do. Is they'll label you and relabel you based off of a title that you're not even wanting to get. Paul didn't want to be called a god by anyone. Many times, whenever he would conduct miracles, he would tell them, I am not God. I am not Jesus. I am just speaking on his behalf. And this isn't a label that Paul had ever wanted. But people, they want to label you. They want to put you in a box. But we, as Christians, have to know, one, where the blessings come from, and two, on how to speak life. Now, I could just stop there, and I think we would all get the gist of the sermon just to keep going, but I'm going to dig a little bit deeper, and then we can wrap this thing up. So we're going to get into verses 7 through 10, as we talk about Paul's story here. In the region, there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick, a fever of dysentery. Paul went into him and prayed, and he laid hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of the island, who had diseases, also came and were healed. They also honored us in many ways, and when we departed, they provided us such things. I'm not going to get into this, but the word anytime you see that in the Bible, it's symbolic or something. It's symbolic as well. Paul with the And what does he do? Gives them life. He gives them a second chance. With that same hand that the snake did, he lays hands on people and heals them, which is just fascinating and poetic how that is written. And this was all done, as I had mentioned, on the island of Malta. And to me, what Malta represents is a season of life. You know, that season of life when everything that does go wrong will go wrong, or will go wrong, does go wrong. When you're at the end of your rope, basically, when everyone, you know, starts to doubt you, when people point fingers, we have all been and, you know, will be on this island of Malta within our own lives in some season of our walk. But don't give up, don't lose hope, because God has promised us that he will reveal his revelation. Paul never lost hope, he never doubted God, because God told him he was going to Rome, and that he will not die. And Paul made that his watchword. Again, I'm going to quote a verse from earlier. I'm just going to speak it real quick. In all things, we are more than conquerors for him who loved us. I'm convinced neither death nor life, angels, demons, present, future, any powers, height nor depth, anything in all creation will ever separate us from the love of God that is Christ Jesus our Lord. When we go through hard times, know God is with you. Know that Jesus is with you. Romans 8:28 says, we know that in all things God works for good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. There's two things in there that you gotta understand. It says, God works for the good of those who love him. Alright? He's going to work good in the lives of those who love him. How do you love Jesus? You read the Bible and you do what it says. You read the Bible and you do what it says. Somebody in the audience might be in that season whenever they are on the island of Malta now. Shipwrecked, old, snake bitten. But know in these times that setbacks in life are setups for something great. You might not have any clue, you know, why you're going through this. You might not be sure why you're in this season of hurt, you're in this season of sickness, why you're walking through the valley of shadow of death. But know, as we know, that God is with you. And whenever you come out of this season of life, you'll be stronger, you'll have a deeper faith, and you'll be wiser. To sum up Paul's life, he writes in 2 Corinthians 11:23 through 33, Paul takes some time to boast about himself. And he wasn't one to boast, but took an opportunity towards the end of his life, you know, to kind of like talk about some of the things that he's accomplished in Winford. And I think it's a valid point that he makes, and I'm going to read it quickly for you. Says, are they servants of Christ? I am more. I have worked much harder, been imprisoned more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move, fearing for my life. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from fellow Jews, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in city, in danger in country, in danger at sea, and in danger of the false believers. I have labored, I have toiled, I have often gone without sleep. I know what hunger is, and I thirst, and I have often gone without food. I have been cold, I have been naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressures of my concern. Besides, this is the awesome point, besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. So everything that he had gone through physically, his biggest concern is the state of the churches. That's beautiful. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led to sin and I do not inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast about the things that show my weakness. The God and the Father of the Lord Jesus, who be praised forever. He knows I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under the king, Aretas, had the city of the Damascus guarded, the whole city guarded, in order to arrest me. But I was lowered from a basket, from the window, in the wall, and slipped through his hands. My message today can be summed up in two words. Keep going. this life, he will prevail in the next. We know in Revelation he wins. If you don't understand the book of Revelation, know that he wins. Everybody in this audience, you have a purpose, you matter, your story matters, your soul matters. Keep going because God is with you. If in your heart you believe, you want to convert from your wicked ways and turn to truth, you want eternal security, and you want your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, please come forward, repent, confess, be baptized. Turn from the world and lift your face toward heaven. Walk out of these doors knowing you have fire insurance, literally. If you're a Christian and you're not living as you should, whatever that might be, that pulling you back, living in any kind of disrespectful manner, of a dishonor to Jesus Christ and his walk in the Bible that he has laid for us, you're dishonoring the name of a Christian, please come forward and you repent. There's no pointing fingers in this church. There is no talking down about anybody in this church. We only say the things that we say because we love you. We want you to be in heaven. Please come forward because tomorrow isn't promised.